This morning, I want to speak on what God has kind of laid on my heart before I go into a series. People had asked me this week, are you going to start your series? I'll start my series, Here Comes the Bride, next week. But I wanted today to be just something that I spoke about. Something maybe that I helped in some way teach or to show you how God works, how battles take place. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me, let's go to the book of Exodus. And I would fail to thank everybody. I'm not even going to try. You know who you are. And when we get to heaven and pass by, God will say, that was one of them. That was another one. And for all of you that have been faithful in your giving, you got us here too. It took every single one of us to get here. Every commitment we made, every dollar, every board, everything that was donated, everything that was put up, it took all of us. That's what makes us a mystery to a lot of people. Because they're like, how can y'all over there build this and have this? That don't make sense how you... Well, I want to explain what takes place in life. In the book of Exodus, the 17th chapter, and I'm going to read from the 8th through the 16th verse. The 8th through the 16th verse. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, look at the person beside you, say, Moses said to Joshua, and this is very important, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with a rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did. And Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek. Look at the person beside you and say, Joshua defeated Amalek. And his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens. And Moses built an altar and called the name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, and the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. I want to speak this morning with everything that's in you. With everything that's in you. This seems like an odd story because Moses' job is to actually just get them to the promised land. There was no promises of no water. There was no promises of running out of food. There was no promises of fights or problems or discomforts. Really, the only thing was, we're going to leave here and we're going to go to the Canaan. That's all we're going to do. But somewhere in the process, God, because he said, you're not ready for Canaan and you can't handle Canaan, we're going to have to bypass it and we're going to have to do some things differently than what we normally would do. We're going to have to get you stronger and we're going to have to get you to a place to where you can handle Canaan. And so they have to go through some trials, some troubles. And one of these trials and difficulties is this story. It is one of the oddest stories that we find in the whole process. Because Moses is not really an old man. I mean, he's still got a lot of strength. But yet at the same time, God does not tell him, who is probably the only man that has military background. He is the only man that if he walks out on the battlefield, everybody is going to be strong. I mean, Moses is leading us out. But for some reason, God tells Moses, you choose Joshua. and tell Joshua to go get some people and you stay back. I'm going to show you spiritual warfare on the highest level. I'm going to show you how big battles are won. I'm going to show you how people do things that other people will look at you and say are impossible. It has nothing to do with numbers. It has nothing to do with a strategy. It has nothing to do with manipulation. It just has to do with we're going to go out and we're going to take on something that's bigger than us. And when we do, we're going to be victorious over this. And God says, I'm going to show you how battles are won and how victories are obtained around me. And so when we begin to look at this, there's some things that we have to realize is that a fight has to happen on all levels. When you go into something bigger than you, when we started this project and when you do something in your life, let's say you want to save your marriage. Let's say you want to raise better kids. Let's say you want to move up in your jobs. You want to do anything in your life. It's all going to start from this mindset that when you take on something bigger than you and stronger than you and mightier than you, something you don't understand and don't know how to handle it, you had better do one thing. You had better realize that you are going to have to attack it on every single front. You're not going to be able to just grab it with one hand. It can't be a weekend project. It can't be something you're just going to decide, I'm just going to do this haphazardly. It has to be something that is going to require all the facets of your life. And when I say that, let's just deal with the main two. Let's deal with your physical and let's deal with your spiritual. In this battle, we see both of them. God says, I want to show you what's happening, because in the Old Testament, everything is simply a picture of New Testament work. What's happening in the New Testament is revealed. What's happening in the Old Testament is concealed. You can't really see it. And God has to use pictures to show them what's actually happening. When He wants to show you how strong He is, He creates a Samson. When He wants to show you different ways of victory, He brings a David and He brings other things. And God says, I want to show you battle before you battle beyond what you're normally battling. I want to show you Canaan land battle. One half of that is physical. The other half of that is spiritual. See, our problem is if we don't realize that it's too large of an enemy, and it's too big of an enemy, we do what most people do. We choose one or the other. And we wonder why we fail. It's because we either decide we're going to just do a little bit of praying and a little bit of fasting and a little bit of this, and we're going to work hard at it. And so we decide we're going to work harder at whatever it is we want to do. And we try and we try and we try and we save or we do everything. And we can't figure out why we can't get victory over this enemy. And why we can't seem to get our marriage together. And why we can't seem to get the kids straight. Or we can't seem to get the job right. Or we can't seem... It's because we're choosing one of them. And I meet people like this all the time. They'll choose one of them and they have no prayer life, have no ability to pray, have no ability to read their Bible, no ability in this, but they'll say, Pastor, I am with you. I am committed to you. I'm telling you, if everybody else quits, I'm in this thing. You don't have to. Do you know that there was a lot of those sticks that we stuck out here? And there's a lot of people that aren't here that put sticks in the ground. It wasn't because they were weak in just one area. It's because they chose an area. In their mind, they said, look, I can do this. I can physically stick it out. I can physically hang in there. I can physically say, I'm just going to go through it. But then all of a sudden something happens in their family and it drains them. Or something happens at work and it drains them. And all of a sudden the first place that they decide that they need to quit or stop going, you know what, I ain't got gas anymore to go to church. I need to quit the church life. I'm still committed, Brother Lott, and I'm going to come when I can. But I'm just having to do everything I can physically to hang on. And because of that, my spiritual life goes down and eventually I get a distaste for church altogether because I'm working hard and nobody appreciates me and I'm staying up here doing things all the time. Nobody cares. Everybody else is doing their thing. I'm trying my best and no nobody's called me, and nobody's wrote me a letter, and nobody's come and seen about me. You know what's happening? Your physical is wearing out. Your physical is tiring out. And now you start grumbling and complaining because you're getting tired and nobody's helping you. What's happening is you're just trying to fight a battle that's too big for you on one side of an evolution, on one side of a situation. Yeah, it does take physical. In this story, there has to be a Joshua. He has to go down. He has to select men. There has to be a physical battle. There has to be something that's going to wear you down. Even last night when I walked out of this place and I finally left here, I think about 2:30 this morning, I finally got them 5 lights that at least wanted hung. And 5 last lights. They look good over the information desk, but they didn't look good this morning at 1 o'clock. Then I went back over to the office and sat there and studied. I just wanted to get everything in my head again. Yeah, there's a physical part. But it would have done no good to hang those lights and to do all of the physical part and then not realize that that's only half my battle. Now I have to drag that tired body over to the church and I have to sit there and I have to feel my spirit. Why? Because both of them have to be prepared. My body is saying, look, we need to go on home. Right now, if we go to sleep right now, we're going to get 3 hours sleep. If we go to sleep right now. And my spirit is saying, sleep ain't our problem. You've done 2 hours of sleep, Tim. That ain't no problem for you. We can do 2 hours and do just as good if we had 8 hours if we're both ready. There has to be a physical. And for some people, that's all they fight with. They try to figure out their strategy, their game plan. They try to sit down with pen and paper and budget out their life and how they're going to fix it and how it's going to work. Does that really work out very well for you? No. Because there's also a spiritual. Now I find people also that they don't do the physical part, but they got the spirit. In church life, I deal more with this side. I have people come up to me and, oh, Brother Lot, I'm telling you, God's done spoke to me. I know I'm supposed to get married. I know I'm supposed to get married. And I'm looking at them and thinking, okay, that's great. But you know what? I don't think there's a guy looking for a lady in high slippers, in pajamas, hadn't looked like you combed your hair in 3 days, and you got a Twinkie in one hand, chocolate milk in the other. I believe you probably got it in the spirit that you're confessing and believing God's got you somebody, but I don't think you've told your flesh yet that you need to get in shape. Yeah, there's guys that, I want to get married, Brother Lot. I want to find somebody. And I'm like, you need to take a speech class. Because even if you bumped into that lady, all you can do is, how you doing? Want to go out? I ain't got much money, but we can go out. I don't know why she didn't fall head over heels in love with you. Maybe there's some physical things that you're going to have to add to your spiritual. Yeah, you got the spirit right. Yeah, you're believing, you're confessing, you're praying. Some of you just pray in tongues, walking through the house and just speaking in tongues. Oh, I feel it, Brother Lot. And then you don't understand why it does. It's because you don't put no legs to it. You don't put no effort behind it. If you believe you're supposed to find Mr. Right or Miss Right, then you know what? Dress like you're fixing to meet them. Act like you're fixing to meet them. Get ready. Get in shape. When somebody says, why are you working out? Because one of these days I'm going to meet the right person. And when I bump into them, I want to be ready for it. I don't want to be dead disorganized. I don't want to have bad hair day. I want to be ready that when they bump into me and I bump into them, they're going to go, bam. That's what I've been looking for. Some of you want to do the spiritual, you don't want to do the physical. Some of you want to do the physical, but you don't want to do the spiritual. And you wonder why it doesn't work, because there's some battles that are too big. There's some battles that are too large for you. There's some battles. You're going to have to go at it from both sides. And when you do, understand this. that you are going to look foolish. Look at that person beside you and say, when you do, you are going to look like an idiot. Just go ahead and get that in your head. Because if I tell somebody, why do you know you're supposed to build this? Well, because God spoke it to me. You mean He just talked to you? Yeah, just like we're talking right now. Well, what kind of things did you do? Well, some of the things I did, I pulled up to Fred's parking lot at 2 in the morning. God told me to. And in Fred's parking lot at 2 o'clock in the morning, I started pointing toward the north, the east, the south, and the west. And I started proclaiming that people were going to come, and people were going to come from different places. And I had people I've never met before and people I've never seen. Well, that's ridiculous. I know it. It's crazy. But God was preparing them and trying to get them into a mindset. It sounds ridiculous that a 80-something-year-old man is sitting on a mountaintop watching his understudy fight down in the bottom. He ain't got a sword. He hadn't got anything. He looks at Joshua and he says, Joshua, you go fight. And Joshua's like, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to go sit on that mountain. And I'm going to hold my hands up. What good's that going to do? I don't know. But I know I'm supposed to do it. I have no idea why I'm supposed to do it. I just know I'm supposed to. It sounds crazy when you get around people like that. For Joshua later to look at his people, that's because he's done been through this. Later he can look at them and say, here's our battle strategy for Jericho. What are we going to do? Well, for 7 days, we're going to just walk around it real quietly and we're just going to look at it, but we're not going to say a word. And then on the 7th day, we're going to walk around it 7 times. Oh, we're going to get excited. We're going to have church. We're going to walk around it 7 times, and we're not going to say a word, and then all of a sudden we're going to all turn toward it and we're going to yell at it. Can you imagine if you were sitting there? Joshua, come on now. I know you took that walk in the desert last night, but let's be serious now. You can't yell at a wall. We're going to yell at it. What if that doesn't work? I don't have a plan B. God told me that's what we got to do. You're going to have to reach points in your life where you're going to have to be willing to let other people look at you and say, that's ridiculous. That's silly. I don't see why you have to go to church all the time. Oh, yeah. You're going to have to be able to put up with people that don't understand what God has put inside of you. And you're going to have to be willing in your life to be able to look at them and say, look, I'm doing this because God's called me to do this. You're going to have to be willing to tell people face to face that I'm going to do this whether you like it or not. And be willing to be looked at. When we started this project, you know, I couldn't even tell you how many people looked. Well, why are you building that? We don't need that. Why are you doing it? I mean, for what purpose? You already got a church built. You're happy. You're always going to deal. It doesn't matter if you say, I'm going to quit my job and move to a better job. Somebody's going to look at you and say, now look now, I'd be careful before I go trying something else new. And I think I'd just stay right where I'm at and be happy. It doesn't matter if you're the guy at work and you bring your wife flowers. People are going to look at, oh, he just, man, I'm telling you, he's so whipped. This woman at her work, and she says, you know what, I cooked my husband dinner last night, and we had a good time. And did all. I'll tell you what, I ain't no way I'm going to treat no man like that. You're going to have to be willing in your life when you want to go higher than normal people, you're going to have to be willing to deal with foolishness. You're going to have to be willing to realize that the battle's not just a physical. Because if it was just physical, we could do it, couldn't we? We could do it. But it's the fact that we have to look foolish in the spirit. Well, I got to raise my hands. I got to praise God. No, you can just sit there and just try as hard as you want to on your own. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to come to church. You can just try to fix your family all by yourself. But I'll tell you how it's really going to work if you want it to work. You're going to have to first do all you can physically. But then you're also going to have to do all you can spiritually. And when those two dynamics meet, when those two things happen, something begins to happen that I cannot explain. It's not for me to explain. It's not for me to tell you why God wants to do those things. Sometimes I think, and I'm going to mean this just honestly, God. Sometimes I think He just gets a kick out of me looking like an idiot. And if you hadn't been in a bunch of fights, you don't know what that feeling's like. God, you could have fixed this a long time ago. Why am I still in the middle of this thing? You could have already taken care of this problem. Why am I still just trudging along? Sometimes I think, God just wants to see me hanging out here. David runs down the hill. He's got a slingshot. He's got a run. He's willing to fight. I mean, he's done proved that I'll fight. Why don't Goliath just have a heart attack? Why does he have to go down? Why does he have to be cussed out and ridiculed and mocked and told, I'm going to feed you to the birds and I'm going to do this and this? Why does he have to go through all that? God could have shut down Goliath's heart and he'd have died. And David could have turned around and said, that'll teach him to talk smart to me. But no. God leaves us out there and He lets us hang out there. And there's sometimes in these big battles, you're going to have to realize whether it's you want to have your dream fulfilled, you want to have your marriage fulfilled, you want to have your job fulfilled, you want to have something that you're dreaming, but you know it's too big, and you can either sit there and complain that you can't and this and that and every other thing, or you can simply realize that I'm going to have to engage this on two different fronts. I'm going to have to do all I can, but God's going to have to open doors. God's going to have to do miracles. God's going to have to do something. And I don't care how silly it looks. I don't care as long as I get the results. I don't care if anybody can figure out how we ended up here. I don't care if people can't figure out how we afforded and how we did. It doesn't mean anything to me. All I know is I'm standing on the stage today. I can't explain everything. I can't tell you how everything works. I just know it happens. I just know that if I don't quit in my spirit and I don't quit in my effort, then God says, Tim, I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to give you abilities. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to open up windows. I'm going to do things that nobody else can do. Be willing to look foolish. Also, when you do this, when you're in a fight, use everything you got. Be honest with me. When's the last time you gave everything to anything? Some people make it look easy, I know, because they're used to doing it. It took me a long time to train myself that when I focus on something, that is my thing. I love food as much as anybody in this world. If you know me, you know that is a fact. And I knew going into this month, I said, God, I need every Big Mac. I need Burger King. I need Sonic. I need Garden Patch pins. Don't take that away from me. That's my tranquilizer. Some of y'all know what I mean. When life is bad, some ice cream can cure anything. Bucket of it. God said, no. We're not fighting this year. And in your life, it's those things you cannot do yourself. It's those areas that you know I cannot do this. But it's where God tests, will you engage with everything you got? You want to save a marriage. You want to raise good kids. Then engage with everything you got. I ain't talking about just like, spend an hour a day. Dude, I'm talking about make it the priority of your life. We don't meet people anymore that just give everything to something. We live in such a time now where if we don't have somebody around every 10 minutes, we just think we're lonely. And I can't imagine what it was like for people years ago when you would write a letter to your wife and these missionaries would get on a ship and there was no phones, and for 5 or 6 months you wouldn't hear from them because they were sailing across. And then they'd write a letter and it'd be a year before that letter got back. So a year and a half would go back by before you would hear from your wife or your husband. Lord, some of us cheated on them 4 times in that length of time. Oh, I ain't got nobody around to keep me satisfied. I can't live like this. It's because we don't focus. We don't give ourselves to something that's so large it's going to take everything we got. We give just what we can. And we give our excuse and say, well, I'm doing the best I know how. No, your best is all. The rich young ruler found that out because he wanted to kind of work that deal with Christ and he was holding something back and Jesus was like, I know it. So Jesus kind of plays along, well, just do what the law says and do what you're supposed to. And he says, I've done that since I was a young boy. But I want to know what it's like to have the kingdom. I want to know what it's like to inherit. I want to know what it's like. And he says, if you want that, if you'll be perfect, then just sell everything you got, give it away, and follow me. Very few people, they'll say they are, but they're one harsh word from quitting, one slap on the wrist from going into depression. Nobody loves me. Let me tell you something. Whatever that thing is in your life, whatever that problem, that situation, whatever that thing, if you're not willing to engage with everything you got, whether it's your eating, whether it's your work, whatever it is that's hurting and that you know needs to be fixed, but you're not willing, let me tell you something. You've got to decide, is it worth everything I got? If it's not worth it, then it just ain't worth it. Just hope you get lucky and it just works out. There's some things in my life when I decide that's what's got to happen, it's not a choice of if or maybe. It's just a matter of we got to get there. And of all the things I put my wife through, that's the hardest things. I have, as Kenneth said, I have the greatest wife a person could have. And you guys, I hope you would say the same thing about yours. I hope you'd say, no, you don't. I do. But I stand up here and tell you I've got the greatest. Why? Because she deals and lives with somebody who is focused. And that is not easy. Because I'll eat, sleep, drink, breathe, talk what it is that God's put on my heart next. That's why I'm real careful to make sure what God puts on my heart. I hope for the next month or 3 or 4 or 5 months, fishing is what's going to be on my heart. I feel a spirit of fishing coming on. I don't feel the spirit of building anymore. I feel the spirit of fishing. And I'm expecting that to be a good season. Why? Because I have to be very careful. Because if I see something or I feel the need for something, my heart grabs hold of it. And if my heart grabs hold of it, my brain, which is not very big, it just doesn't have any problem on saying, oh, there we are. And I have to be careful where my little brain and my heart turned. Why? Because if you're focused and you're somebody that stays focused, then you're going to accomplish things, and that's a weapon the enemy does not want to see. They didn't have no other things going on during that battle. They didn't have a Tupperware party going on over here, and they didn't have this going on over there. You know what? Everybody was engaged in the battle. The only thought that day was we need to whip the Amalekites. Every song written that day was how we're going to whip the Amalekites. Every prayer that day was prayed on, hey, we need to whip the Amalekites. There's nothing else going on. Total focus. But now here's the key. Things happen. Things happen when you release everything. promises come when you release everything. It's not hard to read the Bible when you've done this. It's hard to read the Bible when you come across a passage that says, doing all you know to do, ask whatsoever you will. And in your brain, it's like, I've done pretty good. I've done better than them. That's not what it says. It's hard to talk yourself into a good prayer life, into a good belief system. But when Joshua looked over there, what he saw was he saw Moses doing everything he could. He sees an old man standing on a hill with no shade, no anything, and he's standing on the top of a hill and he's holding his arms up. And the battle is waging and Joshua's fighting and he's winning and it's like, oh, if he could just keep those arms up, Moses. But Joshua would find out that when Moses would get tired and he would, the Amalekites would get strong and they would start pushing them back. Moses would shake the feeling back into his arms and he would raise them up again because he's doing everything he can. The two men that are with him realize he can't keep this up. Find him something to sit on. They drag a boulder, a rock, and they sit him on it. And one gets on one side of his arm and says, I'll hold this arm. And the other gets on the other side and holds that arm. Why? Because you're doing everything physically possible to release a spiritual weapon. As long as his arms are up, they're winning the battle. They fought just as hard, but if prayer and the Spirit was not added to it, couple, listen to me, you can go to marriage conferences. You can buy all the DVDs. You can do whatever you want to do. But if you aren't going to pray together, you're going to lose. Why? Because if your marriage is already one of those marriages, and don't get me wrong, there's some of us that we just going to be together no matter what. I meet couples like that, and I think, that has to be cool. You know, you just say anything, do it. I'm an A personality. Lisa's an A personality. We're always walking on eggshells. It's like you don't want to set the next bomb off. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Nothing wrong. She's just not going to take it on the chin. And I ain't going to take it on the chin. So at that time, it's like, look, we got to make sure we work this thing. But I see those couples where, man, it just looked like it don't matter. It just don't matter. They just float along through life. But if you're not one of those, if you think you're just going to work hard and buy her a car and she's going to be happy, or you're going to do, you're missing the point. It's going to take both sides, the spirit and the physical, to handle somebody like that. Why? Because they're going somewhere. And if somebody wants to go somewhere and knows you can't do it one way, they're going to want both sides. In your life, things happen when you release everything. Finally, this. Do you think what you have is enough? Do you think that what you have right now is enough? Now, when I say that, what you're thinking is this. You're thinking, okay, Brother Light, is what I got enough? Am I happy with where I'm at? That's not what I'm asking. What I'm asking you is this, is what God has equipped you with enough? Because here's the problem with a battle. Here's a problem with a big dream. Here's a problem with anything, is that you're going to feel like you are highly, highly outmatched. Sometimes you're going to feel like you're fighting with a pitchfork and everybody else is fighting with guns. put it in a terminology we use up here. You're using a old Roby, $99 you bought at Fred's, cut and saw, and you feel like the guys down the road pull up in their trailers and all they got is DeWalt's. They like Jim Dilly. All they care is DeWalt's. They don't play around. I went to his truck yesterday. He said, I got a grinder in my truck to help you on that project you're working on. I love going through Jim Dilly's truck. That's like going to Lowe's. Popped the back of that thing. Four grinders sitting there. I grabbed one. I got walked in, and Jim looked at me and said, "That's the wrong one. It's got the wrong attachment on that." And he walked up there and got me the other one. Cut that pipe in no time. I thought, that must be cool. I was fixing to go get a hacksaw. Because that's what I own. I own a hacksaw. I thought if I could get it. Sometimes you feel like you're fighting that way. Everybody else has got all the breaks. Everybody else has it lucky. Everybody else has it better than me. You look at your boss and you think, look, he don't have half the problems I have. You look at somebody else's marriage, you think, they're made for each other. We're not. You look at other people's kids and you think, I don't know what's wrong with my kids. I don't know. I need to have them tested. Don't say that because I've heard a bunch of you talk like that. Brother Lott, I think we need to have Junior tested. I don't know. He just ain't fit. He just ain't working at school and things ain't right. Sometimes you feel like I was not given the right equipment. I was not given the right stuff. One of the biggest enemies, one of his greatest weapons, is that you don't have the right stuff. And that God did not give you the right body. He did not give you the right brain. He did not give you the right this or the right that, the right upbringing. He didn't give you the right mate. He didn't give you the right kid. He didn't give you the right something. You have to settle in your mind that what I've been given, if it's a hacksaw, then I'll build it with a hacksaw. If it's this, if it's a hammer and I don't have a gun, like Kenneth shoots him nail guns, and I don't have one of them pass load nail guns, then I'll just swing a hammer until my arm falls off. I'm not worried about what tool I'm given. I'm just going to get it done. And there has to be a mindset in you that whatever God's given me, it's enough. If God gave that to me, then that's enough. David had that mindset. What made him victorious is that when he went up against Goliath, Saul tried to give him a DeWalt. Saul tried to give him a pass load. Saul tried to give him something. And David said, let me explain something to you. I've never used that. I'm liable to shoot myself in the leg. I'm liable to do something wrong with that thing. But I know how to swing a hammer. I know how to use a hacksaw. I was taught using a hacksaw. I was trained on a hacksaw. And all of a sudden, he goes out with nothing but five little rocks. And he takes on a giant with a sword and a spear. He's got a guy that carries his shield with him. He's got a guy that just follows along as an entourage carrying his shield. And David walks down there with no armor and a little slingshot, and he looks at him and he takes off running at him. Why? Because my hacksaw has cut a many a pipe. My hacksaw works. My tools may not look fancy. They may not work well. I may cry when I speak. I may laugh when I do things like that. You may think that's odd. You may think, well, Pastor Lott, when he prays, he lays on his belly and he just lays out and he don't pray the right way and he don't talk the right way. But let me tell you something. My way is one of many a battle, and I am not backing down from the way I do it. There has to be something in you that finally says that what God's given me is enough. I don't need your stuff. I don't need your opinion. If Moses can keep his hands raised, then I can win the battle. I don't care how the world looks at it. I don't care how they write it up in the paper. I know what happened. Why do you say that? Because when you read that story, I had you quote a few things. Did you notice? Joshua won the battle. Did he? Maybe they should have said Moses won the battle. Did he? Or was it Joshua in the flesh and Moses in the spirit? And when those two dynamics touched, miracles took place. I'm telling somebody today, you need to do an inventory on your life. You need to decide how much you're giving to which. Maybe you're all sold out and you're working hard. You're washing dishes. You're trying your best to. Or maybe you're just walking around the house proclaiming it and speaking it. And you're sending money to TBN and doing everything spiritual you know how. But you hadn't picked up the phone and done one blasted thing about it. Yeah, we got here and there was a spiritual side. We didn't even understand it, Kenneth. We walked over here and stuck a stick in the ground. Stupidest thing. I thought Kenneth had lost his mind. I didn't even want to go as hot that day. And it was weeds, and we had to wade through some weeds. And I said, well, let's just stick it. No, we want to go right in the middle. And Kenneth wants to go right up through there. I was thinking, I'm going to get ticks. I'm going to get fleas and everything. I don't know what all is out here. We got all up in here. And he said, right here. Let's stick it right here. I don't know what happened. I just know a few months later, we got a phone call that said, hey, if y'all want to buy that land. There had to be a physical. There had to be a spiritual. My physical I do all through the week. You know why I come to church? Because I have to also feel my spiritual. You know why I have other days of the week? Because I got to put something into that spiritual and call it physical. And they work hand in hand. If you're here today, maybe there's been a lot of effort given to one or the other. But God's calling you to let those two meet. Put prayer. Put spirit behind it. Don't quit working. Don't ever quit working. When we got this building, the reason we set the date was because of this. We would never get in here. The reason we set a date is because we would never get in here. I'd moved the date 4 times. Finally, we knew when the chairs were going to arrive. The chairs will arrive at this time. And I thought, okay, chairs are going to be in the middle of February. March 2nd, we are opening. Okay, well, first, man, we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. It'd be no problem. We have weeks to get that done. I thought, yeah. Then all of a sudden, we got closer. Hey, we might want to do this thing. No, March 2nd. If there isn't no toilets, they'll just have to go out and walk to the other building. But we're going to have church. And I'd like to tell you that everything's fixed and everything's finished and everything's finalized. No. We still got a few tweaking here and there, and there's pictures laying on the floors, and the bookstore won't be open for a couple of weeks. But we're here. There has to be a physical. There has to be a spiritual. Set some deadlines on your physical. You want to change when you're going to start. When you going to start? Set it. The spiritual, I think we know how to do that. Pray. Seek God. Let Him fill you. I don't know what the challenge is for you. I can tell you what mine is now. Mine is my marriage. And learning to pasture. For 5 years, I've been in building mode and work mode. And I want to go fishing and I want to spend some time. I want to go watch my son play baseball. I'm going to be very focused on that. It might tick you off some. That's okay. I know what season I'm in. Do you? Do you know what's the most important thing right now in your life? If you don't, you need to figure it out. And then focus on it.
Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this service today. Thank you for letting us be here, for bringing us here. We did not get here. We did work, and yeah, our bodies are tired. But there's a totally different element that was involved. Your spirit, your will, and your desire. Father, I'm thankful that those two met. I take some credit. It was my body. But I didn't win the battle. Without you, it would have been impossible. But Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whatever that vision is for this person I'm talking to right now, whatever it is for their marriage or their kids or their job or their future or whatever it is they're called in ministry, whatever it is, Lord, let them see through this little project. Let them see what's possible in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Oh, give the devil fits.